Ce Super Filmscast, 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 Super Filmscast, Super Filmscast, Super Films.
It's beautiful.
Thanks.
Now this is podcasting.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Super Filmscast.
Almost said it. Almost said it.
Blake has a gun pointed at me.
Yeah, what was that, boy?
And anytime I say the numbers 6 and 4, he's going to shoot me in the dick.
Well, we don't do math here, brother.
I guess not.
I have a master's degree.
I did enough math.
Dude.
I forget that you have a master's degree.
How could you forget?
Scream,
I bring it up every day.
You don't scream master's degree to me.
That is incredibly offensive. Nothing about you doesn't scream educated.
Just not educated. You just coast by.
Well, what gives you that impression?
You coast by on those cheekbones. You know?
I do. These have got me a long way.
Yeah. We got Blake Ball here. We got Jay King. Mm. Jay, how you doing?
What's up?
What's going on at the ticket?
Sports. It's, you know, the Cowboys.
And Cowboys training camp. Were you at training camp?
No, I was not. They don't pay me enough to go to training camp. I don't think anything else has happened at the ticket. I think everything's been pretty cool there this summer. No news, no nothing. It's been pretty light work over
there.
It's
been quiet,
hey, Blake. Yeah. Yeah. No, nothing really going on at the ticket. It's a little quiet.
Uh-huh. A little quiet there? Not much happening?
I haven't seen a few people. It's kind of quiet.
Not things just unraveling there?
Not that I've heard.
Has Matt McLaren brought any underage girls up there yet?
Sir, he's only worked there a week, and he's been in Cowboys, so I'm not going to answer that question because he is married with children, and I bet he is a nice family man.
So Blake is the producer now for them?
For which show?
Donovan and Matt McLaren.
I think he's doing that for the time being because they haven't officially announced a producer for that show or the Hardline. They've only announced the producer for Mino and Sean.
It's Justin.
Sean and Mino. Yeah,
I'm going to say right here, Justin should be a host. I'm very happy for my friends Sean and Mino. And you don't have to say anything, Jay. Justin, I think it's a crime that Justin is not a host right now.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I love Justin, and I'm happy to see him up there every day.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I'm going to say, because I texted him that I can't wait for him to be full time.
I'm happy for him too. Yeah.
No. Yeah. And I'm just going to be glad that he's going to be able to contribute to the station full time instead of just a Sunday morning or a spot fill in, because Justin might be one of the funniest people I have ever come across
or heard. Yeah, he's awesome. Shout out to all our friends at the ticket.
Shout out Justin and one of our friends getting all of a new position.
Shout out to
Sean and Mino.
And shout out to Jake and Dan as well on their really cool new thing they're doing. Have you listened at all to that?
I have listened. I don't have it on Patreon. Sorry, Dan and Jake. I am broke boy.
They're not listening to this.
Okay, good. I am broke boy, so I have listened to the free episodes on YouTube, like the one with Akash and all that.
It's crazy.
And Akash is very funny, too.
What's your opinion about everything, Blake?
So I, as a fan and a friend, I do purchase the Patreon. But, like, not trying to, like, put myself higher than you, Jay.
I purchase
it,
too.
In their lives?
So you don't listen to the ticket, but you have their Patreon.
What's the ticket?
Okay, there we go. All right. That answers that for Blake. Yeah. Blake's a lot of help over here.
All right. We've kind of been off for a few weeks, and I feel like we've missed the boat on what we're going to talk about.
Honestly, I don't think so. I think it might be better that we didn't talk it right away.
Maybe.
Because then everyone was all Barbied and Oppenheimer now.
Yeah.
And we waited a week, 2 weeks. It's like, hey.
So we're going to cut through the noise a little more.
Damn right.
More.
Yeah.
A little more.
So we did
using that master's degree talk.
Yeah. We did a Barbenheimer. We did it. We saw the Barbie. We saw the Oppenheimer. And
we saw the Barbie together.
We did. Yeah. We took a picture.
We took pictures.
That was the first group movie trip we ever had.
Like, oh yeah. And it better not be the last. Yeah. We're seeing we got another good one coming up.
Yeah.
Sound of freedom, baby. Sound of freedom.
We gotta find a theater that has air conditioning.
The movie Hollywood doesn't want you to see, but keeps it in theaters for over a month, so you can see it.
Before, you know, not to get into news or anything, but
not to get
on the top, yeah, not to get political, and it's not funny what this man did. It's horrible, but just the irony of this producer getting arrested or whatever he was getting arrested.
He was a I don't know, because like, they crowdfunded a lot.
Yeah, I think he was just a financier.
Yeah, they crowdfunded a lot of the movie,
which is sometimes what producers are, is financiers.
But that's even wilder. Like, I'm paying this movie millions of dollars to get this message across. Well, to stop people like me. I know what we do out here, and people need to stop us. So I'm going to send you $30 million. Fix me, please.
To be fair, unfortunately, the Sound of Freedom people came out and spoke, and they said, yeah, he only donated like $500-something, so it's like nothing.
Yeah.
Never mind.
So,
nah, it is.
The guy's
so
like, you know what? Child kidnapping's not cool, but I only got $500, and I'm gonna go spend the other $500
on a child.
I will say though, it did seem a little too good to be true.
It was
100% too good. I was like, there's no way this is 100%.
Yeah,
correct.
If it was like the director Jim Caviezel or something like that, it'd been bigger news. But it was a dude who barely gave $1,000, but still funny in the long run. Still funny. Yeah.
It adds to the discourse.
My uncle called me. When he saw the picture of us, and he was,
you're no nephew of mine.
some choice words.
You were in pink there, boy?
He was quite, what are you doing?
My bad.
Jay just fell back, almost toppled over my DVD rack.
I was leaning.
Thousands of dollars worth of DVDs.
I don't know about that.
I was leaning back in the chair, and I hit the bookshelf.
Yeah.
It sounded louder than it actually was. That's funny.
Sorry, so what did your uncle say?
He was like, why'd you see that? That's a little weird, isn't it? I'm like, that's not weird. It's Barbie. Everyone's seeing Barbie. He didn't agree.
He needs to. I was gonna say he needs to hang out with my little sister, but no, he doesn't.
That doesn't. Yeah,
my little sister
probably
also
not.
Did not like Barbie.
Maybe they should go see The Sound of Freedom together.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk Barbie first.
You do?
Oh,
or no?
I don't.
He wants to save the best for last.
Well, that makes sense because me and Jay both just saw it yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw it with you.
Yeah, we saw it
2 weeks ago. But then I also saw it yesterday.
And you know what? I was having a conversation with a friend of the show and the Blowout Network's own TC Fleming. And we're kind of talking about just film criticism, and it's very hard to have an opinion on a movie the moment you just saw it, and if you've only seen it like one time,
you gotta
it's
let
a
it
bit
marinate.
Difficult. Yeah, and so like two viewings is actually a lot better. I mean, if you're gonna see it twice, you know.
Yeah, and I also was not before I saw it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I love Christopher Nolan, and I knew it was going to be entertaining. I wasn't super stoked on it being 3 hours, and I also wasn't super stoked on seeing it twice for being 3 hours. But the first time we saw it, whenever me and you saw it, it flew by like nothing. I didn't even have to go to the bathroom, and I drank a whole like extra large soda, whatever, 3 hours. I don't even think I had used the bathroom after the movie. I think I just went home, or we all went home. But then I was afraid going into the movie yesterday. It's like, well, since I've already seen it, like, is it going to drag on? No, it went by even faster yesterday.
Oh, really?
Because you knew what was coming.
See, that was.
I knew what to pay attention to. I knew when I can kind of zone out like a little bit and, you know, eat my popcorn and stuff like that.
Two times is the perfect. I think once you start seeing it three times, it kind of gets. Because I remember seeing Blade Runner 2049 three times, and I love that movie to death.
Mm-hmm.
But at the third time, it was a little, like, kind of wearing on me. You
That's
know?
How I felt.
But that is a perfect theater movie.
It is. And like, it was. And I was so, I don't think I got to see it on IMAX or anything. Or
did they do it on IMAX?
I don't know if they did. I remember being sad that, I don't know. Yeah, they probably did. Because I think it was like something called like Natural Disaster or something was coming out, or Biostorm or something.
Oh, I think that's the I know that movie.
The Day After Tomorrow?
No, it's where the government controls the weather and there's like a system malfunction. So like
That knocked Blade Runner out.
Yeah, half the world is like Ice Age, half the world is like pouring rain, all that stuff.
Then the other half.
Well, doesn't the government actually control the weather?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That was a real thing, bro.
Well, it was a documentary.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like Sound of Freedom, bro.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't let up on that movie. But, we got to go see it.
Oh, I have full intention. Just because it's such a thing.
It's such a thing.
I just want to go see it and then make a video in the parking lot afterwards. I have to make a reaction video because that's what all the stereotypical white people are doing. They're like,
oh my,
you gotta do it in your car.
This is the greatest movie I've ever seen, bro. 5 out of 5 stars.
Is Ryan Gosling in it?
Mm.
Then it's not.
Jesus is in it, dude.
Okay. Well. Okay.
Yeah. You got something to say about Jesus?
It's not Ryan Gosling.
Mm.
To be fair, there are different people.
They are different people.
Lord, distance. Lord, I rebuke this man.
All right. Well.
Yeah, we don't sin.
Jesus created Ryan Gosling.
I don't know if he created him. God created him.
Isn't that one and the same?
I guess it is.
The Holy Trinity, like they mention in Oppenheimer?
Yeah, there we go. We're back to Oppenheimer. Good segue. So, what did you guys feel about the movie? I mean, you guys saw it twice. You know, what were...
Okay. As I told Trey when I got here, it's a Christopher Nolan movie, so I was more than likely going to like it. I've liked almost every single one.
I didn't like Tenet that much, and I was worried it was going to be like
Tenet. I like Tenet. The only thing about Tenet is you can't understand what they're saying half the fucking time of the movie.
Even the exposition where they're explaining everything, like with the machine, how it works, all this kind of stuff.
Dude,
it's like Bane was talking.
And they put it on Max, or HBO Max at the time when it came out. And I was like, cool, I'll watch it now and see if I can understand it. And the subtitles are like audio distorted or whatever.
Really?
I was like, oh, yeah, thanks. That really helps. even though you don't know what you said.
I'm very glad Oppenheimer, which also had a really good soundtrack. I'm really glad that they kind of fixed that issue.
You could understand
and
everything.
That's very important because this movie is a lot of talking.
That's the whole movie. It's dialogue, movie. But the only action you get is like the time when the bomb itself goes off and like the dreams he's having when the bomb is. But other than that, like it's all dialogue. But hold on, as I was saying, is like going into this with Christopher Nolan, I was like, I'll probably like it, but I enjoyed the movie a lot more than I actually thought I was going to. It was 3 hours. It was long. There were a couple times when I was looking at my phone, but it still went by faster than I thought it was going to.
Yeah.
I was involved the whole time. Like, even when it felt like it wasn't a super important part of the story, I was sitting there. I was like, whoa, what's next? So, like, it kept you in it, enthralled.
I left the movie last night because I got to see it in the 70mm IMAX. And the first time I'd seen it in regular 70mm, I left yesterday or last night thinking like that might be like a top 5 movie I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
Just because I typically don't like super dialogue heavy movies just because I get bored. Like, and I loved
Subway Surfers.
I needed that on the screen. No, what was that movie? The Banshees of
Inisherin.
Yeah. Like, I loved that, and that was very talky, but it was like, that was the gimmick, and I knew what I was getting myself into. Other movies
that was
that
also
are...
a bit more funny.
Yeah, you know? That was the appeal was how talky and how wordy and how
It's like Fargo.
Inconsequential
with, like,
it was.
The humor is just the accents. Which maybe isn't intentional, but yeah.
But then Oppenheimer, very dialogue heavy, 100%. But I can't believe, even last night, I surprised myself how engaged I was in every side character, too. Yeah. There was not even a side character that came on. I was like, oh, screw this. I will say, except that little twink.
You've been saying that word a lot today.
Is that a slur?
No, not a slur.
Not the way I use it. It's endearing.
Just making sure.
I don't think it's a slur.
The way it came off, he was heavy
he does.
He was heavy on the W.
Blake said that like 5 times.
He was like, that twink.
No, I'm only saying
And for a guy with certain features,
with cheekbones.
Maybe you should...
Maybe that's only a word the gays can use. Yeah. Oh man, I don't know if I should put it that way.
maybe not.
I was like, only that gay people should use, because if a normal person uses it, it feels wrong.
You're fine. We used to call Norm's interns twinks.
So
does that make you a bear, Trey?
I was a chub. Not hairy enough. Now I'm a twink. I was.
Yeah,
chub
you're a twink.
I'm hairless.
Are you a twink?
Dude. I'm hairless.
Are you a twink?
I'm hairless.
I think he's more of a cub.
No, I'm. No,
you're
now.
A cub.
I'm skinny now.
No, but the bear.
Back to Oppenheimer.
Yes, I know way too much about. No, but the twink joke was because the guy who played that general who like ratted out, the glasses, who's working with Matt Damon. He's like, get this dry clean.
What's his name? Yeah,
yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
yeah,
Green Goblin from the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, I love that guy. That guy's a great actor.
Yeah, so, you love him, but you can't say his name.
No,
he
it's like Dane something.
He is
right?
kind of a little twink.
No, he is, and okay, that didn't come from me. Whenever A Cure for Wellness came out,
yeah.
that guy had been in a couple other things, and there was a couple other
He was
leads.
Really good in Chronicle.
Yeah, yeah. There was a couple other lead actors in that time period that were like, I guess for lack of a better word, kind of twinkish. Because I just remember in like 2017, 18, whenever that
Dane
came out.
DeHaan.
Yeah. DeHaan. Whenever that came out, there was an article saying like,
do I need a twink counter?
Saying, when did, when did the twinks take over Hollywood? What?
That's three in 30 seconds right there.
It's not it's an endearing
no,
term.
No, it's a lot.
Wrong
a lot
of, like we're using the term a lot.
Well, who's a twink to you? Who named the twinks?
Just that guy.
I want to name this podcast. I wish this wasn't Marvin Hybrid because I would name this podcast Name the Twinks.
I only know one, and it's that guy.
Is Roderick a twink?
Who?
Roderick? From Diary of a Wimpy Kid? He's pretty small.
I want to give you names.
I think
you
just
tell
height,
me.
Okay,
so
we come into
Matt
it?
Damon.
No,
he used to be.
Back in the day, he could have been one, but
Dogma.
Now he's got a little dad chub to him.
Yeah, he's
so no, he's not twink.
Casey Affleck.
Yes.
Casey
Affleck, 2006.
Yeah. Rami Malek.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't even have to ask that.
Benny Safdie.
No, that's a bear almost.
Yeah.
It was
Benny Safdie in that movie was so delightfully weird.
Yeah.
He was just like the mad scientist, the chaotic mad scientist. He just wanted to do it for the sake of science. Like when they were blowing up, then they were doing the test of the bomb, and he puts his goggles on and rubs like sunscreen on his face. I thought he was hilarious. He was super emotional.
Yeah.
He was just like, I'm not going to work with them. And he like has a little hissy fit and walks out.
Yeah, he was in it for the love of science.
They
even let him research shit they weren't even working on.
Yeah.
He's just like, research hydrogen bomb. We don't care. Just don't leave.
He didn't really want to get political. He didn't want to make friends. He just wanted to do stuff for science.
Yeah, it's like 2000.
We all need a homeboy like that.
Yeah, mid-2000s reality TV star. I'm not here to make friends.
All right. Are we doing any other twinks?
Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett?
Or what is his name? Hartnett. Yeah.
Is that his brother?
Wait, was he in that?
Yeah, he was in it. He was the friend.
Who was he?
He was the teacher, the professor friend.
No.
Am I stupid? I can't believe I didn't recognize that. Because
he looks old now.
Yeah, because I remember Josh Hartnett. You remember like the Faculty and Halloween H2O.
He was big
in
the early 2000s.
Yeah, he was H2O.
Late 90s, early 2000s. He was huge because he was in
Black Hawk Down.
Yeah, and there was another war movie. Was he in Pearl Harbor?
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was.
Interesting movie for him to be in now. Getting back.
He wasn't a Japanese guy.
I'm saying, but he was in the movie Pearl Harbor, and we bombed.
You saying Japanese made me nervous because you really emphasized the P.
The first.
We're turning this around because I can't say twink.
I get on you for
saying twink, and I can't say Japanese.
I think it's a funny word.
It is a funny
Blake,
word.
You're allowed to say it.
Because I fit the bill. I'm hairier than I look. I will say that. Yeah.
I just said.
But like,
that muscle picture, though, the one with the abs, though, it's a little.
That's a twink pick. That's before I just said
Japanese. I didn't say any of the terms that like Clint Eastwood says in Gran Torino.
Gran Torino.
That's a racist movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed
Oppenheimer a lot. So I feel like the movie was three parts. The first part was sort of the setup, and I feel like I was a little lost in that first part. But once they start.
Wait,
doing
so like
the
first part,
test.
You mean like first 30 minutes or first hour?
First hour.
Because first 30 minutes, I texted Blake and I just said, bro, only been in Oppenheimer for 30 minutes and this man, and then put in all caps, loves
the puss.
Pussy.
Yeah.
He was a horn dog.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, my God, dude.
I showed that to David because he had seen it too. Because
it
really opened my eyes. Especially
that's
after
how it
seeing
starts
it again last
the movie.
Night. Yeah. My man, he's a lover. He's a lover, dude. He's a lover. He loves them all.
You got a lot of Cillian Murphy, a lot of Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
I will say there's no better meme than the in that room where him and Florence Pugh.
Oh, where they're sitting naked in the chair across from each other.
He's just crosses his legs like that. Every time, and they showed, you know, obviously that scene was there last night. And I just, I was the only one laughing.
You're only laughing because you keep sending me memes. It's just like when my parents leave and I watch porn on the big TV and stuff like that. So he's like, he can't take that part seriously anymore.
Or like the other meme where he's like looking super distressed. And it was like this whole time, like we assumed this screen grab was from whenever he like saw the you know, the bomb go up. Really just when he fumbled a bad bitch.
Yeah, he's got PTSD from a girl killing herself. Was that a spoiler or not? I don't care. It's movie's been out 2 weeks. Yeah.
It's also history.
Did Casey Affleck kill that girl?
Well, they showed the black gloves. So they insinuated that she either got murdered or she killed herself.
No, it made it seem like she was setting up to kill herself. And then like the way they kept going, I was like, did he just try to get the information to kill her? Or like what happened there?
Well, you saw the scene with the black gloves, right?
Yeah. And then they kept putting pillows down. I was like, what's happening? I was like, because it was hard to tell whether it was
I kind of forgot that.
If she did herself or if the government took her out.
I was kind of nodding off that first like hour a little bit, so...
Also, I think, didn't he
And
say
that's like, oh, was it Casey Affleck's in the movie for 2 minutes, and he's like the most evil person in the whole
movie?
Yeah,
I remember that part, yeah.
Well, yeah, because as soon as Matt Damon's like, wait, you were with who?
Yeah, Matt Damon's like, why'd you talk to him? Why'd you say that name? How do you know that name?
That's what Christopher Nolan should have done. Yeah, he should have wrote that for Matt Damon. Like,
wait, Oppie, why did you say that name?
So stupid. It's true though. That's what I was thinking of too. When he said that, I was like, "What do you want him to do?" He's the government, man. You gotta talk to him.
Can I go over a couple of notes that I wrote down for the movie? So first, like 20 minutes of it, you know, it's setting up his family life. Like besides the three women he hooked up with, and finally gets to Emily Blunt, and they're like, "Yeah, he's got kids," and then he just straight up gives his kids to this commie friend that he knows, and he's just like, yeah, man, I'll take your kids. You're smart as shit, bro. That comes with, like, responsibility. I'll take your kid. Like,
Different time.
Yeah, the way it came off, he's just like, you understand the way this world works, and that comes with a price. Of course I'll take your kid. No, if you come to my house, and you're just like, dude, we got so much going on. Can you adopt my child so I can never see them again because I got to work on important science shit? And I'm like,
working on shit.
Get the hell out of my house. I got something to do, too, and I got children.
Yeah, I'd be calling the cops.
Made no sense.
Well, you know
the way
what?
They just
I'm
gave
glad...
up the kid, and it lasted 3 minutes. I was like, that's it?
Yeah.
You don't give a shit about your child?
I'm glad you're not my friend, you know, to give my kids to. I'm glad
I don't want your kids.
Yeah.
I don't want any kids.
Jeez. Yeah, I want my own.
I don't want my own. I will be the cool uncle. But you want me to watch a child? We're about to be drinking beer watching the Lakers game or something, dude.
Yeah, he's 4 years old.
Yeah.
That Baby Billy scene.
We're chilling,
dude. He's like, you have a beer, you pour it in a Pepsi can. I forgot, have you seen Righteous Gemstones?
I haven't watched this newest season because I wanted to binge all of it.
It's over now.
Okay, perfect.
I'm on the season finale.
I just haven't caught up this newest season.
It's, side note, the funniest show I've seen in forever.
It's great.
But we can get back to the movie.
Elsewhere, Christopher Nolan, my God, he loves time cuts.
He does.
Comes back and forth. Non-linear stories.
Yeah, but that's every movie he does. It's just his thing.
It wasn't as confusing in this one.
No, this one was easier to follow along.
I feel like Tenet, I was worried about this because of Tenet, and I'm glad it didn't kind of fall into a lot of the things that he's kind of been doing as of late.
It wasn't following a Memento. It wasn't doing a Tenet. It wasn't doing an Inception where it's trying to confuse you or something like that. It's like, you need to figure this out. Obviously, this was history, so we know what's happened, or the main gist of what's happened. So you can see. Now, I did like.
Can I say something?
I did like the black and white and color part, so that was cool. But yeah. I mean, he likes freaking jump cuts.
Can I say something that sounds like a brag?
Yes.
I did not find Inception confusing whatsoever, and I think people who found that confusing are kind of dumb.
Well, you know what, Trey? I was 13 when that movie came out.
Oh, no, okay. Adults.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I only saw it once. Yeah. I didn't know what the hell was... I still get PTSD when I see a coin spinning.
Maybe I'll take out that last second part.
No. Leave it in.
Okay.
I can't
leave it in.
Find this.
I want Trey to be a hater.
I've been trying to watch The Inception, because that's the only, in the last 15 years Christopher Nolan movie that I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Or no, going back, I've seen every Christopher Nolan movie starting with Batman Begins. I never saw Momentum. Or
Memento.
I never saw Memento.
That might be
that
a top
first one,
that
right?
might be a top Christopher Nolan movie for me.
Memento's no, it was like it was something else.
It was like
first
it was
one.
Like two or three because Memento was 99.
Okay, yeah. So I haven't seen that, but ever since 2006 or whenever Batman Begins came out, I've seen them all. But for the life of me, I don't remember too much of
Following
what
was his first one.
And Inception.
Yeah.
But no.
The main thing, I mean, I saw it when I was in middle school, high school, and then afterwards, like the second or third viewing, I was like, oh, Inception, it's not about where are they now, or are they in the dream, or they this. It's about the journey and everything that happens.
It's
and
about
then, like,
the friends
the
we dreamt along the way.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, no, like it the is. Like, all the things that happen at the end, like, when he's doing that and then he goes to be with his family, it's just like, oh, he's with them now. It doesn't really matter if it's his dream or not. The journey, what he's done is complete.
Yeah.
So, no. That's his main thing, is he doesn't want you to look back. He wants you to go, oh, this journey is done. But... that's yeah, Nolan thing. He loves damn time cuts. I also wrote down, did Casey Affleck kill Florence Pugh? We'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot more of her boobs than I was expecting.
We saw him twice.
We saw him like four times.
Did we see
dude.
Him four times?
And then
there's two of them.
There are two boobs.
That makes sense. I saw all four.
It wasn't the uniboob. What was the other thing? There was the hardcore sex scene where Emily Blunt was imagining them doing it in the chair, like in front of the courtroom. I was like, boy, that's uncomfortable. But man,
I was just thinking
if someone wants to be a freak with me in a courtroom, let's do it.
Then arrest me, cop. No, that scene though, I was like, that must have been so uncomfortable to film,
dude.
With eight grown ass white dudes in there, Emily Blunt, and y'all are just simulating fucking.
Yes.
And you can see below the table too, dude. I was like this. I was trying to see everything I could.
And then the other thing I wrote is, so let me preface this.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to this movie, I may have taken a gummy.
Mm-hmm.
I might have taken
Starburst gummy.
No, I don't think they're legal in the state of Texas. But you can get them in other states where it is legal.
You can get Delta 9 now.
Oh, okay.
Is legal. No, I'd be on the Delta 9.
Okay, I
like
straight up took a bunch of edibles before I went to go see Oppenheimer, and usually someone takes one or two gummies. I took 300 milligrams.
That is literally the entire pack of the ones that I use. That is 10 gummies.
I was buzzing through the movie. I was enjoying it. It was awesome. And then when this scene came on, so now you know my state of mind. There's mindset. There we go. So this is, I was in an inebriated mindset when I wrote this. So there's the scene when they go to DC and they're all meeting up with the higher ups. In the cabinet, going
the
where? Where should we drop this bomb? And the guy's like, "Well, don't drop it here because me and my wife honeymooned here." And they're like, "It's the meeting of the. It's the brain power.
Yeah.
It's the brain trust."
That had audible groans in our theater when he said that. Yeah,
it's a meeting of the minds. And the only thing that went through my mind during that scene, I said, "Imagine if this was just Gen Z." In a room planning to bomb Japan, and they're all like sitting with the chairs like facing forward, and they've got their hats backwards. They've got vapes hitting. It's like
a bunch of 22-year-olds.
It's just like, bro, let me tell you, I wouldn't hit that side of Japan over there because low key, it's kind of really pretty.
Yeah.
Dude. Like me and my wife went there, we traveled, but. And just imagine,
dude, low-key, dude, Kyoto, low-key, the yacht, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm just imagining it, them talking like that, them not wearing suits, them wearing all, like, NBA uniforms, like a frat party when
like,
they do that.
Backwards hat.
Yeah, everyone's wearing a random jersey, and they're all hitting
the
vape.
Vintage Denver Nuggets jersey with the Toronto Raptors.
So I'm
whatever.
Just imagining a meeting of the minds like that, just Gen Z style, and it cracked me up for about... 5-10 minutes, dude. I had a very good time thinking about that. I was like, some dude's hitting like the little e-cig, but then someone's got the giant,
someone's
like
got the tank.
Yeah. And then they just do it through their nose while they're talking about how they're about to kill 50,000 to 100,000 civilians.
Just cash.
God, that's really funny to you, killing civilians.
No, thinking about you just ripping the blueberry vape, just like
the elf bar.
Man, I don't know. Just like, what if we?
What if we become death?
Yeah, bro. Like, based.
It's based as hell. What's terrifying is give it like 15, 20 years. That's literally going to be the people making those decisions.
Yep.
Is us, Gen Z. Us. Well, equal, like, technically younger than us.
I'm not Gen Z.
You're not. I think
I'm a millennial.
He's a silent generation.
I was born in 95, but in December of 95, which is literally the last month for millennials. So I'm going, I'm probably more Gen Z.
See, but I'm stuck in that. You know, not to take this tangent too far. I'm born in mid 97, literally July of 97. So right there in the middle. So like I grew up in a world that is different than what people that were born in like 2000, like my little sister was born in 2003.
Yeah.
She grew up in an entirely different world than I did. She grew up, she acts different. Literally a generational gap between me and my little sister. But like me and my other siblings that are all kind of more so the same age, it's like us and her. And it sucks because she's only 6 years younger, but it's like sometimes I'm like, I can't even talk. Like, I don't know what to say. Same. I don't know how to talk to these people. But like that's, and it's, but like I'm technically on paper Gen Z because I was born 97. Yeah. But it's like,
you
I don't
know
really,
what, like it all is meaningless, honestly.
Dude, nothing matters.
Yeah.
So who would be in that room making the decisions if, like, instead of Truman, it was RFK as president? RFK, yeah. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. He's in there just pumping iron.
He's got
5, 6, 7. I think we should do Kyoto. 8, 9.
He's got an
10.
Incline bar, yeah. And he's just no shirt and jeans. He's like, so, boys, where are we dropping?
RFK is literally like Facebook personified. That's what he looks like.
Oh, man. It's true.
He's going to win, too.
Other thing about Oppenheimer, boy, you're going to love Cillian Murphy's eyes if you haven't seen him enough in that movie.
Dude, captivating.
They're just going to...
Captivating.
Half the movie is them just showing Cillian Murphy stressed the fuck out, and it's not even about a bomb. It's about some woman.
It's about this bad bitch that he just fumbled.
It's either about communism or about a bad bitch. It's never about the bomb. The bomb is kind of like third on his mind. He's like, oh, yeah, dude, I forgot. We are blowing up a bunch of shit.
Wait, we're blowing up people?
Yeah, he's like, whoa, I'm creating this bomb because I don't want the Germans to make it, but it might kill people?
Nah, dude, that's not Cillian. That's not Cillian, dude. That's like...
Is it Killian or Cillian?
Oh, it's Killian. Sorry.
Killian Murphy.
Sorry. Cillian would do that. Killian wouldn't.
Yeah.
Two different people. Cillian is his evil twin.
No, now I just... Anytime I'm like super anxietied out or stressed out, I just want to sit at a table like Killian Murphy, just... Three fingers up to my face with my eyes wide open like this, just like I'm thinking, like, oh God, the weight of the world is just sitting on my shoulders. That's how
like
I want to be.
Tim Robinson kind of bit.
Yeah, just be hardcore stressed out 24/7. They're like, oh my God, what is he thinking about?
I thought he was very good in that, and I also thought Robert Downey Jr. was excellent.
I hated Robert Downey. I despise that
because, like, yeah, like that guy now has such a persona of like a lovable, you know, kind of snarky
billionaire.
But he's, you know, everyone loves him. But yeah, he kind of had to turn on the acting chops in this and actually play an asshole.
Well, it's cool because people were, I think, were not souring on him, but they were getting a little jaded because
Marvel
for,
the, it's
for
the
10
Marvel
years,
thing, yeah.
20, 15 years, whatever, 2008, whenever. Iron Man 1 came out. I don't even know if that's right. All we've known him has been, you know, Robert Downey Jr. And I'm not saying he ever necessarily phoned his acting in.
I knew him as
Iron
Kurt
Man.
Lazarus.
Oh, from... from
Tropic
Thunder.
Yeah,
Tropic Thunder.
I was about to mention Tropic Thunder.
But like, but for the past like 15 years, and
he's
like...
He's been Iron Man.
Nice to see that he...
Still has acting chops.
Yeah, he didn't lose that. He didn't give in. Because he could easily have just re-signed that contract with Marvel that they're trying to get him on. And he's, you know, he said no, and I'm glad he did. It made me sad, but I was still in like the in-game mode where like Marvel's the best thing that's ever happened. And now that Marvel is kind of... fallen off, I think I'm glad he's no longer in it, because I don't want to see like it honestly kind of sucks seeing like Thor in the new Marvel movies, just because he was around when it was cool, and now
it's like he's the adult at the high school party, you know?
It's like I don't know, but
one of the things I liked about Florence Pugh and Killian's, I get, because I wonder if this was real or not. My guess is it might have been, but I like the little the thing with the flowers. Anytime when he bring her flowers, and she just straight up throw them away, but you can tell she liked it.
Oh,
like, because that one time he's like, you didn't bring flowers, I'm proud of you. And he's like, he just had them in his jacket pocket. I was like, yeah, you sly dog. I love that. I actually thought that was very cute.
That was the most like.
You could tell he actually cared, but he was torn apart.
Oh, yeah. And like, but I.
But he did have a wife.
That was like the most, like, I don't even, I'm not, this is going to sound bad. Like, talking to any women or women in my experience has been just like talking, like him talking to Florence Pugh when he's like,
stay away
from
me.
Yes. And he's like, I do, but you, he's like, but then you call me. And she's like, well, don't answer. I was like, this is what I've been dealing with my whole life. I was like, this is the struggle. We
that was more realistic than Barbie for you, bro.
It's like, I feel Killian's pain, but like, I'd still be buying her flowers. I mean, but the thing is, I'm just like that. Like, she can tell me
just
she
like
hates
me for real.
Yeah. She can tell me women have told me multiple times, I hate you, never want to see you again, whatever.
You still bring her flowers?
Oh, yeah, dude. If she's calm, dude, first ring. Hello, baby. Can I get you anything? I fold so quick.
Simp.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, I'm not saying I would ever cheat on my wife, but...
But if Florence Pugh came calling...
No, but what I'm saying is, like, if he folded easy, and I was like,
He did fold easy.
But then it's like, seeing that, it's like, maybe I don't want to become that. I'm already going down that road. Because I'm in the mindset of, like, FOMO. Like, if I pass this up, what if I, you know...
You think you felt the same way about making the bomb? If I pass this up, bro, someone else is going to have blood on their hands.
I think, didn't he even say that? If we don't do it, the Germans are going to do it.
No, well, yeah, that was true.
Somebody else will.
I'd
much rather be somebody else than me, though.
No, because when you actually get serious about it, that is something that really sucks to think about. Because yeah. you know what you're creating going in beforehand, and anyone who didn't know that it was going to lead into a bomb, obviously.
Do you feel
not...
like he really felt bad about making the bomb?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I talked to TC about it, and he said he doesn't feel like he had any remorse about making the bomb, even though he says he does.
I think you're feeding into Robert Downey Jr. saying, at the end of the movie, saying, oh, he only cares. He's just trying to stay famous and relevant. He's trying to get sympathy, all this kind of stuff. I personally didn't agree with that.
I didn't either.
I thought he felt bad. I thought, like, I saw, especially the scene of him in that, like, gymnasium where they're all cheering, and you just hear that girl scream, and then
that was very effective. That was very effective, that whole scene. Because
it came out of nowhere. Maybe, it was like a horror scene.
And maybe he didn't feel as much remorse, or maybe, as I'm saying, but don't think that didn't weigh on his mind literally every day for the rest of his life. And even if you didn't feel remorse out of it, if something weighs on your mind that much every single day, it eats at you. It's going to have some sort of overlying effect on you. So I do think it ate away at him.
Yeah.
To think that you killed that many people, and then also that everything that happens in the future is because of what you've done. And so if they make a bigger, better bomb, like essentially that could blow
hydrogen
up the entire...
Bomb.
Yeah, the hydrogen bomb that could blow up the world in it, well... You gave way to that because you created this, so essentially you're the one who destroyed the world, and which is what it was saying at the end of the movie.
Yeah, saying we actually did start the chain reaction.
Yeah, and I did love, I think one of my favorite parts at the end was it's like, yeah, one senator voted no, this hotshot guy, and it was JFK. It's like, are we revealing John F. Kennedy like a fucking Avenger?
Yeah,
something like that.
JFK will return.
It felt like the end of The Dark Knight Rises with the Robin, you know, him saying his name is Robin.
But then it made me think,
just
like,
not going anywhere.
Well,
it's like the Joker, you know?
And it's just like, well, now that you said that, it's like, did, what's that guy's name, Robert Downey Jr.'s character, what was the, crap,
like Strauss.
It's just like, so did Strauss, is he the one that killed JFK?
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't the CIA. Maybe it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald.
Maybe it was Casey
Maybe
Affleck.
It was fucking Casey Affleck or Levi Strauss or whatever the dude who was that.
Isn't Levi Strauss the gene person?
I think you're thinking too hard into that, dude. But maybe
he
killed
those
JFK.
Levi 504s.
Yeah, so.
I think he did too.
Yeah.
Lewis Strauss.
There you go. A brother to Levi.
Yeah, exactly. you saw those whitewashes that he was wearing.
I really liked Robert Downey Jr. in this, and I really liked the whole.
Did you think he was? If you don't really know history or anything like that, because I didn't really know too much about Strauss, honestly.
Yeah.
But did you think that he was the one that was feeding all the information at the beginning? That he was the guy,
probably,
he was looking to be the good guy, asshole all along.
I want you to take my car. I was like, this motherfucker.
And the whole, like, thinking that they're talking about him. And
I didn't suspect it at first, but then when it happened, I was like, this makes so much sense just because of any political show you've ever watched.
Yeah.
That this is every politician that they don't want to be embarrassed or they don't want to feel like someone's better than them, so it's a dirty game.
Oh, 100%. That's why... I mean, that's what politics. I feel like to be in politics, you got to like put that aside, which is why, like, when you see like political or presidential debates and stuff, like during the debate, they're going at it, but like during the commercial break, they're just like, oh, what's up?
Only Rosie O'Donnell.
I
think the best scene, though, was them setting up the Trinity test. That felt like a suspense action scene.
Oh, the part like when it's counting down with like 40.
It was so suspenseful.
It was
so well done.
Like, and then
he
really
commanded that.
When it goes off too,
silence.
Yeah, it's silence, and then you're so captivated by what's going on that you completely forget that it's going to make a sound 30, 40 seconds later, because that is something they taught us in school, that the A-bomb, like, it's going to have a delayed reaction, and yeah. you completely forget, because when it goes off, you're like, oh, it's going to make a sound immediately, and then it doesn't, and you're watching, you're like, oh, and then you're like very drawn in because obviously it built it up for 5 minutes beforehand. Yeah. And then by the time it hits, when you're in IMAX, I was like, whoa, like that shit shook the whole theater. Yeah.
I jumped
and I completely forgot about it.
First time we saw it.
Yeah.
I jumped like a boy.
Because so much has happened that you forget, oh yeah, that the blast radius is going to go off because you thought that maybe it already did and it's just focusing on Oppenheimer's POV because you can hear the heavy breathing ASMR kind of thing.
I never understood like... Tone. So, do all those guys get cancer because they're right there or no?
I thought about that too, but weren't they miles away? They weren't. Yeah. Like, the ones who were closest to it were in the building.
So, my understanding, it's all exponential.
Yeah.
Like, if you're, like, have you heard about the story about the Demon Core? Back in, like, the 40s or whatever, they're building some kind of explosive or something. Mm-hmm. You know, isotopes, whatever. I'm not
sure.
You know, I have a master's, not a doctor.
Please explain to us, masters.
I'm a master's, not a doctor.
I don't have a bachelor's.
But these people, it was called the Demon Core, which is, I guess, the radioactive part of the bomb. And this guy was, like, balancing the top and the bottom of this core with, like, flathead screwdrivers. Because if they touched, it would go, like, supercritical. And basically, like, the bomb goes off or whatever. And somebody's, like, dropped a coffee mug. And the screwdriver slipped. And then things went together. And obviously, it kickstarted whatever. And the guy panicked. And he grabbed it and knocked it off the table. So it stopped being supercritical or whatever. But then he immediately did, like, calculations. And everybody in the room that was with him, the room's not that big.
Isn't that?
Was all safe except for that guy. And, like, 2 weeks later, that guy's dead.
Fat Man and Little Boy, that movie?
That might have been, yeah, the scene.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't think, yeah,
that
Oppenheimer
was the original
went in.
One.
I don't think Oppenheimer went in the movie, went into the details of like how the actual bomb itself was made. It just came up with like, hey, we did this, and that, like it's the process of it, but it never showed how it was being made. They just showed him putting in like one thing at a time to show that it was getting closer. That other movie, like Fat Man and Little Boy, I think came out in the late 90s, shows the actual process of building the bomb, like what went into it. And that's right, there was a guy who did get a lethal dose of radiation and he had to be quarantined in a room and it killed him. But
then,
yeah,
then everybody else was fine.
Yeah.
Literally in the same room. It's just so exponential.
Yeah.
I imagine that when they did those calculations to like watch the actual blast, they did it at a safe distance from most of those people, except maybe that one guy who was in the building watching it and then ran out to go watch it on the side. He might have had a touch of the cancer.
Well,
right
I was
after.
Just wondering, I was like, I felt like that scene, they made such a big deal out of him doing that. Like, I thought that was going to come
right.
I was like,
all right.
Okay. Maybe he just wanted a better view.
And then I liked Jack Quaid in the car, and they're passing out
UV
rays.
Jack Quaid.
Yeah.
You just said, I love Jack Quaid. Another twink.
Yeah, I do like.
No, he's very
he
much
is.
Very much
Jack Quaid is awesome, but they were handing out the UV sunglasses to everyone. He's like, no, I don't need it, man. The windshield blocks out the UV rays.
Yeah.
I was like, that sounds
is
like.
The, is that the glass? And the guy's like, what protects the glass?
Yeah. Just him saying that, I was like, that sounds like something a boomer grandpa would say right now. No, I don't need those. The glass stops it.
You're telling me this clear, regular 1940s windshield glass is the same as the welder's glass that they're using? I don't think so. But what do I know?
Yeah.
And it's cool to see Benny Safdie starting to get bigger roles in Hollywood as an actor.
It's weird him doing accents, though. I don't know.
I know, but it just from him going...
I'd rather him direct, I think,
no,
though.
I like him as a director, him and his brother, a lot. I've seen every one of their movies, but... I think it's just cool to see him going from the smaller independent, like what they were doing, to Uncut Gems to now him being an actor in major motion pictures. Yeah. So, like, you've really seen the Safdies grow since 2017, 2018, when they started getting pretty big and making A24 stuff to now being household names. It's cool.
So, yeah, I thought the movie was fantastic. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
How many bombs are you going to give it out of 5?
Two. One on Nagasaki, one on Hiroshima.
Dude. All right.
I agree.
All right.
I agree.
Well, here's what we're going to do. Since that took 42 minutes and we have another big movie.
Are we doing
an
ad read right here?
No, we're good.
We got to pay for this ad
read. We got some ads.
Better help. Existing is exhausting.
Right.
My wiener doesn't work, so I got to go chew a blue chew.
Talk of Hims hard mints.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Shows that we listen to a lot of podcasts.
I listen to podcasts too.
Better help.
Yeah.
What's the other ones?
There's Better Help. There's Scentbird. There's the wine one.
I was trying to think of the ones that Norm Macdonald used to do, because he used to have one that was like a grill brush and everything, and it was amazing.
So that. What we're going to do is we're going to split this into two podcasts.
Yes! Are we doing Barbie next week?
No, we'll do Barbie now.
Okay.
Yeah, but
but we're holding it for peeps.
But I'm gonna split this into two podcasts. So this is part one. We're gonna do part two. We're gonna record it right now. We'll release at the same time.
We're gonna take a 5 minute break.
Uh-huh.
Take a quick break-y. Dump.
Yeah.
We're gonna do part
we're
two.
More than 5 minutes for that.
For Barbie and do some talk about what we've been watching as well.
Yeah, you know, I got a whole. I've been watching a bunch of movies for some reason.
Me too.
I got so much free time.
If any of you don't follow Trey on Twitter, you're missing out.
It's a journey.
Trey, now when Bo Burnham Inside came out,
this is my new
Bo Burnham. I never thought Trey could love anyone harder.
Yeah.
And then he saw Barbie. So
okay,
let's just,
we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna talk about it.
That's a preview for the next one. That is a tease. Let's just say
all
that.
Right, next time.
Trey vids. Yeah.